From KPFK Pacific Hour Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacific Hour Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Senator Elizabeth Warren and Representative Pramila Jayapal have unveiled a wealth tax bill this week that would impose a minuscule tax on the wealth of massively rich individuals in order to fund economic relief. Called the Ultra Millionaire Tax Act of 2021, the bill would address the constant conservative opposition to government assistance. How will we pay for it? Considering that the wealthiest Americans have gotten remarkably wealthier over the past year alone, at the same time that the net wealth of 99% of Americans has generally fallen, it seems a straightforward task to redistribute some of that excess wealth and still leave the fabulously rich far more comfortable than the rest of us could ever dream of being. My guest is Chuck Collins, senior scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies, where he directs a program on inequality and the common good. He's written a number of books, including Born on Third Base, A One Percenter Makes the Case for Tackling Inequality and Bringing Wealth Home and Committing to the Common Good. He has authored numerous reports for inequality.org on the growing wealth of billionaires during the pandemic. His forthcoming book is called The Wealth Hoarders, and we're going to have him back on our program in about a month to discuss that. Welcome to the show, Chuck.
Thank you for having me, Sonali.
So let's first talk specifically about this wealth tax. This is not a new idea. Elizabeth Warren has raised it before. Why is this wealth tax and this idea for wealth tax even more relevant 1 year into the pandemic?
Well, I think as you and I have talked about, the pandemic has been very good to billionaires. Really, since the middle of March, total U.S. billionaire wealth has increased about $1.3 billion. That was before the big stock market run up earlier in the week. So, you know, I think there's, you know, yes, many people have lost their lives and livelihoods. It makes sense to look at billionaire wealth increases as a source of wealth for how do we pay for some of these COVID relief and recovery programs.
So specifically, what does the wealth tax that she and Pramila Jayapal have proposed, what does it target? How big a tax is it? And specifically, what aspect of wealth or income or assets, et cetera, would it tax?
Well, it is a tax on wealth. And it's really a tax on wealth on people starting at 50 million. So it exempts, you know, all but really the wealthiest 100,000 households in the United States.
So anybody out there listening who has $49 million in wealth, don't need to worry about this.
Yes, that is not relevant. And think about it this way. It's a 2-cent tax on any wealth over 50 million. 2 cents annual wealth tax. There's a couple things that make this different. We don't have a wealth tax. We have property taxes, but we don't have a wealth tax, particularly something targeted at the very wealthy.
We have an inheritance tax.
We have income tax that taxes the annual flow of income. We have a estate tax, which is a tax at the end of life. If you should accumulate at this point over $11, $12 million, you pay a transfer tax. This is an annual wealth tax. And it's 2 cents on wealth between 50 million and a billion. An additional 1 cent tax on the additional wealth over a billion. So if you're a billionaire, you would pay a 3% annual wealth tax.
So 3% of $1 billion, if when you add it up over several billionaires, may be a lot of money for the federal treasury. For the individual billionaires, it's not very much. What sort of revenues does this bill project? I mean, is it significant enough?
Well, the overall wealth tax proposal would raise $3 trillion over the next decade. If it had been in place this year or last year, 2020, it would have raised $114 billion just from 660 billionaires in the United States. And we estimate that over 10 years, the billionaires would pay $1.4 trillion of that wealth tax. So almost half the revenue would come from billionaires.
Now, we are, of course, on the cusp of trying to figure out, our Congress is, and the Senate is on the cusp of trying to figure out how to pass the $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill that the House just passed. There's a whole separate conversation around increasing the federal minimum wage, but this is likely to not, it isn't the first pandemic relief bill. It won't be the last one we've had because of several years now of the tax reform bill that the Republicans passed. We've had money basically being hemorrhaged from the Treasury. Far less money is coming in. This would be a nice way to help the government pay for the pain of millions of Americans, right? You basically tax a handful of people, 660 people, in such a small, minor way that would have such a massive impact on so many Americans. It seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah, I think two-thirds of Americans agree with you, and that's been consistent since prior to the pandemic. 2 years ago, when Senator Warren put forward this proposal, it polls well, including among Republicans. People understand that the very wealthy have seen their taxes go down, and really up till now, we haven't had a debate about how we're going to pay for the various forms of pandemic relief, the CARES Act, and the other stimulus bills. And now, if this bill passes, how will we pay for it? So it's an appropriate time to have that discussion. And I would argue, you know, the first $4 or 5 trillion of how we pay for this deficit spending should come really from the wealthiest 0.1%. These are the folks who over the last 40 years have seen their income and wealth go up. They've captured the lion's share of the gains, the productivity gains in the economy. They are the ones who can afford to. So it's, you know, I think a wealth tax, along with, you know, treating income from capital gains, taxing it the same as income from work, a financial transaction tax. There's a number of other tax proposals that would do the same thing, really focus on that top 0.1%. And they should be the first in line to help pay the bills, if you will. And it's important to realize that under the Trump administration, you know, 4 years, they racked up $7 trillion in additional debt, you know, the Trump tax cut and all kinds of other deficit spending. So when you hear people, you know, howling and moaning about deficits now, particularly Republicans, it's sort of they have no integrity. They have no credibility on that.
I mean, that was intentional. True. They just didn't want to say it out loud that their goal was to ensure that there would be no way to pay for some of these government assistance programs, although this was well before the pandemic. Now, the opposition to the wealth tax seems to be based entirely on this idea that, well, the wealthy will simply avoid or find loopholes and avoid paying this tax. I mean, not only did Fox Business News have an economist who supposedly said, oh, this is the stupidest thing he'd ever heard of because the wealthy would just find a way to avoid paying it. Even Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen apparently feels that way when she was asked last week at a conference whether she, you know, what she thought of a wealth tax like Elizabeth Warren's. She said it's something that has had very difficult implementation problems, that the wealthy would simply find ways to hide their wealth. But this is coming from the people in charge of creating policy, right? So close the loopholes.
Yeah, if you're Janet Yellen, you're overseeing the Treasury Department. You can put resources into enforcement. But the reality is, Sonali, it is an issue.
I mean, it's like as if cops said, well, we can't enforce the laws because the really bad criminals would just find a way to get away with their crimes. And so we shouldn't put this on.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, we need to do two things. We need to push forward with a wealth tax, but we also need to close down what I would call the hidden wealth system. So it's true. If you're in that top 0.1%, you have an armada of tax attorneys and wealth managers and accountants who will help you, dodge taxes, help you create trusts, put money offshore, find anonymous bank accounts and that sort of thing. But we can shut that system down. Janet Yellen can tell her Treasury Department, outlaw these trusts that only exist for tax avoidance purposes. Congress can take action to outlaw some of those hidden wealth systems as well.
I mean,
so
it's
we
just
should do both. We should do both those things.
It's incredible whenever you hear things like, well, we have to raise the federal minimum wage, we have to tax the wealthy, all of a sudden becomes too complicated, and there's just, you know, all of these oppositions and obstacles to doing the most basic thing in ensuring that the struggling Americans have what they need. But when it comes to, you know, dropping bombs on Syria or finding money to pay for the F-35 or tax breaks to the wealthy, it doesn't matter how complicated it is. Congress finds the money, finds the political will, and never speaks up against it, with the exception of a few. Now, we do have growing numbers of progressive voices in Congress, both in the Senate and in the House. There was a letter that both Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders signed on to, writing to Biden about his idea for the new infrastructure bill, and you know, really urging him to go big on that, and to also to override the Senate parliamentarian. And they also are backing recurring direct payments to Americans. And then there's members of the House, Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and others, who are urging action on the federal minimum wage increase. Do you think that those voices speaking out about ordinary Americans' interests are growing in Congress?
Well, they're growing because ordinary Americans want all these things. These are folks who are at the front of the parade, but these are overwhelmingly popular policies. You know, this is the time when government needs to step up and do big and bold things to improve people's lives. And the Republicans want to stop that agenda because they know that if government helps people through this pandemic, raises the wage floor, reduces inequality, reduces these, you know, kind of plutocratic concentrations of wealth, you know, reduce student debt, do these popular things, they will be even more irrelevant. And that's the key at this moment. So the good news is these are popular ideas with huge and broad support. And if the Democrats can kind of move boldly to implement some of these things, that they will consolidate their support among broad segments of the population.
And we know, unfortunately, that Republicans tend to be so much better at setting the agenda and, you know, disregarding what even their own base might support. Any, you know, even policies that are popular, you know, for example, most Americans want action on climate change. Republicans don't care about that. And they set the agenda and push Democrats to the right. Similarly, with the issues of wealth tax or any kind of government relief, you have conservative Democrats. I like to call them conservative Democrats, but they like to call themselves centrists or moderates, who are trying to narrow the eligibility of the $1,400 economic stimulus checks included in the bill that the House just passed. And, you know, you have people like Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, who are on that kick and who also want to see, rather than $15 an hour, federal minimum wage $10 or $11 an hour, even though we are decades behind where we need to be. And so often you have these Republicans setting the agenda, conservative Democrats following them and pulling the party to the right over and over again. And now you have people like Sanders and Warren and Jayapal trying to pull them to the left, trying to pull them to where the American people are. It's not even really left. It's just basic common sense that's popular.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's, you know, this just shows how captured our political system is by the wealthy, by the big donors, when they use their power to basically block popular reforms. And, you know, if the Democrats, you know, and progressives show up and say, we're the champions of the majority of people here, that's a winning strategy. It's good policy and it's good politics.
Do you think that Biden will do what needs to be done? When asked about Elizabeth Warren's wealth tax, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki sort of hedged around it, didn't sort of slap it down, but didn't necessarily back it overtly either. She said something to the effect of that the Biden administration supports the idea of taxing the wealth of the ultra wealthy. But we've also seen Biden, you know, cave on other things, like the Senate parliamentarians claim that the federal minimum wage increase can't be part of any budget reconciliation process. And he just sort of seems to have caved on that. What do you think Biden will do?
Well, you know, he actually ran on one of the most progressive tax programs. He did not run on a wealth tax, but that's where the left is pushing the debate and opening up the conversation because Biden, I think, will become a champion of raising income taxes on the wealthy, treating capital gains income at the same, taxing at the same, eliminating that preference for capital income. I think he wants to make the estate tax fair and more progressive and shut down these loopholes. And I sort of see that the wealth tax debate kind of pushes the whole thing along. It rallies people around their understanding and anger that the billionaires are have too much wealth and power in our society, and that taxing them is one of the ways we're going to address that. So I think it really has to do with the movement that we create. The wealth tax is somewhat of a new idea. I mean, we really, as a country, have only been talking about it for 2 years. You know, when we had the first income tax and estate taxes, it took generations for those policies to be understood and supported. I think we're going to move faster this time because of the urgency and the fact that this concentration of wealth during a pandemic is so unseemly and troubling to most people.
And Biden needs this win. I mean, he's talking about his Build Back Better bill, which is an infrastructure funding plan that involves economic relief, a sort of jobs program, a great idea, especially in light of the Texas devastating winter storm and the failures of the
Absolutely.
electrical grid in Texas. And we really do have deteriorating infrastructure around the country. Obama did have some success in addressing it on the edges, but there's just so much that needs to be done on improving the nation's infrastructure. At the same time, when we have a very significant percentage of Americans that remain unemployed and that are even having trouble accessing unemployment benefits. There was a report in the Guardian, I believe it was, this week showing that a major only something like 30% of unemployed Americans are able to access the unemployment benefits that they have the right to because there's state-level backlogs and paperwork, and often they slip through the cracks. So there's this huge unemployment on a pool of unemployed people. If Biden can't even pass this $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill, he has no chance of passing the infrastructure bill that he wants to pass, right? This is politically important.
Yeah, and as you say, Sonali, being able to show where the revenue is going to come from, that it's not that we're not going to be taxing low-income people, we're not going to be taking more out of people's paychecks, we're not going to tax the bottom 99.9%, that there's plenty of wealth. And you know, instead of going into some kind of phony austerity narrative where, oh, there's no money, that we can't do these things, we actually need to be able to show that there's substantial wealth, there's trillions of dollars that could be invested in green infrastructure that will put people back to work and help us retrofit buildings and retrofit the economy in the face and reduce our dependence on fossil fuels. So it's so win-win, taxing the wealthy and investing it in the kind of infrastructure projects, the big ideas, the bold solutions that we're talking about is has to be part of the next 6 months.
Give out a website, Chuck, where people can find out more about the work you do.
Yeah, check us out at inequality.org, inequality.org, and sign up for the newsletter we put out every Monday that we think people find very inspiring and hopeful and ways to get involved in reversing these extreme inequalities.
And I will speak to you again in a month to discuss your new book, The Wealth Hoarders: How Billionaires Pay Millions to Hide Trillions. Chuck, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks.
Chuck Collins is senior scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies, where he directs a program on inequality and the common good. He routinely writes reports for inequality.org on the growing wealth of billionaires, especially during the pandemic. We've been discussing the new wealth tax being proposed by some progressive lawmakers. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.